last part of the armor of God and just touch up on the final greetings there. And we're going to conclude the letter of Ephesians today. The letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6. We're going to be reading from 10 to 24, to the end of it, from 10 to 24. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 24, but we're going to be looking at verses 18 to 24. These are the verses that we're going to be looking today. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 24 to the end. I'll read and I invite you to follow silently in your Bibles. This is the Word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh or blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. Stand before having fastened on the belt of truth, or having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. So far, God's Word. Let's pray one more time. Lord, we're getting to the end of the letter of Ephesians, but there are some things that we need to understand yet and apply to our hearts, and we pray that through the Holy Spirit you help us to understand the importance of prayer in this spiritual wrestle that we are in. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Through these sermons about the armor of God, I have already told you that the Romans were that power that they were because of their military strength, their military might. Pretty much for 600 years, some historians will add a little bit more, but for a span of 600 years, they were pretty much unbeatable. They lost some battles here and there, but they were able to overcome that and conquer and expand. For a time of 600 years, they pretty much were unbeatable. And they held control over a vast portion of land, of the world, of a massive land in Europe, in Asia, North Africa. They had powerful position in the place where the world was, you know, the most developed nations in the world, the most developed armies in the world. That's where things happened. There they were. And they were very skilled in battle. One of the first things that the Romans introduced or one of the things that they did among the many military things is training for all soldiers. Before the Romans, soldiers were taken mostly from the fields. They were peasants. They were common folk and people that had some grew up around swords and knew how to use them and all. But when there was a war, they were gathered and went to war. So starting 700 years before Christ, armies start to be organized. But then there was a small contingent that was organized and was trained. And the big bulk of the army, like the infantry, were people that were gathered in this situation. They were, you know, gathered from their daily works and joined. But Romans instituted like training not only for the elite forces or for, you know, some sort of group, but they instituted like a basic training, a boot camp, as we have today in all the armies of the world. They pretty much instituted boot camp for all soldiers. And their boot camp was, their basic training lasted 4 months. 4 months. So that was the basic training. And you could go into more training for some other things. But the basic training was 4 months. And it included battle tactics. So you had to know the commands that were done. And you know how to act in a certain situation. How to handle the shield. How to form a line. And how to follow the commands in battle. Most battles were like open field battles, so the formation was very important, I mean, as it is today. So they had training on how to handle weapons and equipment as well. Because they not only had to fight, but the army had to move along. They had to go, and they had to settle, and they not only had functions, their main thing was not to fight, but they had to establish a camp and they had to do things. So they had this training with weapons and with equipment. And of course, they had an intense physical training, 4 months of very physical training. Like a Roman soldier was fit. A Roman soldier was trained basically to, that's the basic training. To walk 12 miles in half a day carrying 60 pounds of gear. So that's what a Roman soldier was trained to do. So they would be fully dressed and they were carrying 60 pounds of gear and they should be able to do in half a day 12 miles. Because the other part of the day they had to dig trenches, to put fences and establish a camp. And one army should be able to, should have been able to walk at least 12 miles with that much equipment in half a day, and the other half of the day to establish camp. So they were able to put fences around and dig trenches. And they were very good in building structures quickly. In one of the sieges that Caesar, that became the emperor, did, he built around 15 miles of fences around a town and dig trenches in around 2 days. So that's how effective they were, how they knew how to handle not only weapons, but how they excelled in tactics and equipment. So a Roman soldier was a well-prepared soldier. And the same goes for the armor of God. I mean, it's useless if you have all the armor, but you don't know how to use the armor or you're not prepared. You don't have the stamina, the strength to fight the battle. So you are using the whole armor of God. And the battle starts. In 15 minutes, you're done. Right? 15 minutes, you are at the end of your wits. You're like, I can't take that anymore. I mean, pause, time out. Let's gather and there's no pause in the battle. That's the thing about the battle. You don't decide the timing. You don't decide how long it lasts. And sometimes the battle is prolonged. So you need to have the armor, you need to be ready, and you need to be fit. You need to be able to withstand, because that's the purpose. So Paul is talking here in this text of the armor of God about you being attacked by Satan's hordes. And it's a systematic attack. It is a cunning, a wise attack that will explore your weak spots. Sometimes he will throw arrows, but most of the time is a man-to-man combat, is a wrestle. And Paul wants to convince that you need to be strong through the Lord. It's a battle that you cannot win with your own strength. And we've been talking about that. Paul gives us the armor of God, and we've been going through this, and you know all the armor of God, what the armor of God is. You know about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So you're convinced already of these six elements, the six items that you need to put on and that you need to wear. Truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, in the Word of God. And you are engaged in having that covering you in your life. You want to be wearing truth and righteousness. You're going to be standing in the gospel. You're going to protect yourself with your faith. You're going to protect your head with salvation. And you're going to defend an attack only with the sword of the Spirit. You're convinced of that. But the battle is fierce. And sometimes the battle endures. And the battle drags on and goes on. And your forces start to fade. So the armor is very important. And as I said, the whole armor of God. But Paul wants to teach us in this last part. There's one thing that you must add to the armor of God to withstand at all times. That is his purpose, right? That we stand at all times. You can look here, verse 13, when he says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand firm." So, you probably remember when we touched on that verse that Paul is saying, there will be multiple attacks. Don't think they will come attack you and leave. You have to stand all the advances, all the attacks, come. They will come to your side. They will come behind. They will throw arrows. Sometimes the attack is fierce, is unfair, it is treacherous, and you need to be ready. It's an intense. And again, your goal is not to win. It's just to repel. Your goal is not to conquer territory. It's just to repel the enemy. It's to withstand. You have the armor of God, but that's not enough. What you need? You need prayer. You need prayer. You have truth. You have righteousness. You have faith. You have salvation. You have the gospel. You have the word of God. But you cannot do it without prayer. Prayer is not an element of the armor. Prayer is the attitude of the soldier. It's kind of the exercise that he does. It's the preparation that he does on the battle. You pretty much are dressed in the armor of God. But you withstand the battle in your knees. It's through prayer that this battle will make you get to the end alive. So Paul says in verse 18, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So pretty much what Paul says in this verse 17, and we know by the two verbs, first of all, praying at all times in the Spirit is the first instruction of Paul. And the second instruction that he gives us here is, keep alert with all perseverance. Keep alert with all perseverance. Keep alert. So two things that the soldier needs to have. Prayer at all times in the Spirit. Alertness, persevering in being alert. Those are two very important things for a soldier. After being dressed with the whole armor of God, the soldier needs to be ready for the fight. And he needs to be ready to endure the fight. And the way he does that is through prayer. Prayer is indeed a fundamental part of the Christian relationship with God. Prayer is the sign of a strong Christian. A strong Christian is a Christian that is praying. And it doesn't mean that the Christian that prays, he feels, as the Hulk of faith. It means that this Christian will persevere despite his weakness. Because truly one of the marks of a Christian that is strong is that he never feels strong. He feels that he needs more strength, and he draws that strength from the Lord. He feels that he is almost about to fall, but he walks 1 mile. He doesn't have more strength, and he walks a little bit more, and he's like, how have I done that? Yes, it was not your strength. Because if you have any sense of your power and you're like, I can do a little bit more, you're doing it on your own. But when you give up everything and you say, Lord, I can't, it's hard. This is what Paul says, that you come to God with all, at all times, in the Spirit, and praying in the Spirit, is that true prayer of the heart. Is prayer directed by the Holy Spirit? Is a prayer that is not only the speaking of words. It's not doing the duty. It's not the prayer of, Lord, thank you for this food and for all that you've done for us. The prayer that we do commonly, that almost, we do it without brain or heart. I mean, it's just, our mouths just speak the words. Is true prayer that involves a relationship with your Lord. Paul says that this kind of prayer is a prayer, he says, with all prayer and supplication. Those are two words that are used usually by the Jews to classify different kinds of prayer. So one prayer is the regular prayer. And Jews, they prayed at least 3 times a day. There were 3 times of prayer during the day, which was waking up at noon and then 3 o'clock, when is the two times that there will be a sacrifice in the temple. And Jews kind of keep that tradition up to this day, the 3 times of prayer. And this 3 times of prayer is not an extemporaneous prayer. I mean, not a prayer that they would just use their own words, but it's a prayer that they're going to repeat. It's the Shema. It's a prayer that is repetition of the law. And this is the meaning of prayer. So you're going to keep praying the Word of God. That's what a Jew understood by it mostly. But then supplications is a more kind of natural conversation that you have with the Lord. Is that prayer that you're going to come to the Lord and speak to Him, and you're going to tell Him about your needs. The emphasis of Paul here is telling you that you need to pray at all times, all kinds of prayer. You need to be praying the prayers of Scripture. You need to be praying the prayers of that you know by heart and memory. And you need to spend time with the Lord in supplication. And of course, supplication makes all the sense. Because if you're under attack and your strength is falling and you're feeling that, you know, the enemy might prevail, what do you do? You take a knee. You go down to your knees. And you say, Lord, I need strength. I'm falling. Because who fights your battle is the Lord. Who fights your battle is the Lord. So, you go to the Lord in prayer. Paul says, at all times, at all kinds, with all kinds of prayer. You will supplicate. You will ask God. You will beg God and say, God, I need you. You will do like Jacob when he fought with the angel at the brook. Remember? You will not go without blessing me. You will not go without blessing me. You will not go without blessing me. And he fought as much as he could. He couldn't prevail, but he kept saying. So a Christian is one that draws strength through prayer. We see that in Jesus. Jesus had a life of prayer. He was constantly going up a mountain to pray or going to the desert to pray. He was constantly praying. He needed prayer. And in his most difficult moment, where was he? Praying. God, if possible, pass this cup from me. And he was sweating blood. And he was praying intensely. He was seeking his strength from above. If possible, pass it from me. But if that's your will, then it's your will. I'll submit to it. That's the soldier there. That's you. God, if possible, pass this cup from me. And you're sweating blood. And you are angry. The text says that Jesus was in anguish of spirit. And that's how you are sometimes. And that's how I am sometimes. And that's how you're praying. Prayer doesn't need to be that nice, neat thing that we sometimes imagine of that guy that is, oh, wonderful God, God of all creation, God of all mercy. Oh, Lord, how my heart is filled of your peace. Sometimes it's like that, but not in this context here. In this context here, the soldier is almost to the point of despair. And he's supplicating. He's coming here and he's saying, Father, it's too hard. It's too much. I don't think I can bear. Jesus tells us a story about not losing heart, but continue to pray in Luke chapter 18 when he says that there was a widow who had a cause to be judged. And there was a judge in her local town there that didn't fear God, didn't care about anything, and didn't want to judge her cause. But she kept coming to him, judge my cause. Then come again. That got to a certain point. The guy said, you know what? I don't care about this lady, but I just don't want her to bother me anymore. So I'll judge her cause. And it might seem a funny way for us, but you should importunate God. You should come to God. You should beg and you should insist. When you are weak is when you should do the most. When you have a cause is when you should do the most. You don't pray one time and you say it's prayed for. You don't take, oh, Friday is my time of prayer. Every time is your time of prayer. Every kind of prayer. Short prayer, long prayer, pray in your room, pray in your car. You are under attack. It's a battle going on. There's no pause. So you pray at all times. In Luke 20, 21, Jesus warns his disciples, when evil prevails, look what he says, but watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that the day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So, actually, what Jesus is mentioning here on Luke is two attitudes, which is one thing, which is praying, but one can only pray if one is alert, which is the second teaching of the text, right? Can we? I think we have one more. Nope. No, that's not the slides, but it's fine. Don't worry. So the two parts of it, praying, verse 18, it's keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So a good soldier is a soldier that is ready for battle. It's a soldier that is not sleeping when the battle happens. So a very important part of a unit, a platoon, an army, is that you have guards. You have people taking shifts that are watching the enemy, right? And it's very important that there's someone always looking, someone always watching, someone always prepared. And there's always those movies, right? When the platoon is so tired, you know, and they're in a stakeout or someplace, and they are taking shifts and you know, taking turns at being at watch. And they, you know, the one guy says, hey, wake up. It's your shift. And the one guy, you know, wakes up like this. And he starts his shift and he falls asleep. And then what happens in the movie? The enemy comes right during that time. Because the guy that was on duty fell asleep. So Paul is saying, be alert. What does that mean? First of all, if you deny that there's a battle going, you won't be alert. If you don't think that Satan is powerful, you won't be alert. If you don't think that he's organized, you won't be alert. If you underestimate the force of the enemy, the organization of the enemy, the power of the enemy, you won't be alert. If you are not waiting for battle, you won't be alert. You won't be alert. So you must be aware that there is this wrestle, this battle going on. That's one first thing that Paul is saying. And you must be alert. Why, brothers and sisters? Look at Jesus' warning. He says, watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of life, and the day come suddenly upon you like a trap. Satan is deceitful. He wants to deceive you and convince you that things are fine. Rest easy. You know, hey, take it easy. You don't need to be so radical. Why? Hey, you don't need to be that way. With your children? Oh, let them live a little. Yourself? Yeah, live a little. I mean, don't be so strict. Don't be so hard. I look at my generation, and I grew up in church, and you know that. And there were those parents that were strict. And there were those parents that were like, oh, we cannot be so strict and live a little. And my experience is not a testament to every other church or generation in the world, but it's only my experience. But in my experience is that the sons and daughters of those that were more strict, they're doing a lot better today than the fathers that were more loose. And I tell you this with sadness in my heart. Sadness in my heart. I don't want to make this a rule. Again, it's just my experience. But fathers and mothers that were strict by the book, who didn't really tolerate, who disciplined their children, discipline and admonition, of course, with love and care, they had less to grieve. Some of those mothers, when I go back to visit my church, they come hug me. And my wife, she always jokes me that I'm so loved by the old ladies in my church. And, you know, she's, because I was a good boy. And they give me gifts and stuff, and they hug me, and they cry sometimes. And they say, oh, I wish my grandson was following like you. Keep praying for him. Keep praying for such a person. Keep praying for this person. You see? Again, this is just my experience. And I don't want to make a rule, but I cannot run away from it. A soldier has to be aware, alert at all times. And then, if you have a suspicion that there's danger over there, will you risk it? Because there might not be a danger? Oh, I think it's okay. All right, you think it's okay? Would you give your son, your daughter, a medicine that you think it's okay? There might be some poison in there. Someone told me there is. The pastor warned me. Or this other family said that they don't give to their kids because there's poison in there. And you're not sure, but you're pretty much okay. Because the other neighbor gives to their kids. The other does. And I think it's fine to give to your kid. Do you give medicine like that? I'm not sure. Well, if you're not sure, don't do it. That's what Scripture says. That's the strictness that requires to be alert. Don't allow the enemy in. Don't allow the enemy got close. Be alert. And how can you be alert? I mean, and here it says alert with perseverance, which means if the enemy is in a stakeout waiting to get you, he's going to get you when you sleep at the wheel, of course. He's looking. He's waiting. Then you sleep at the wheel. That's when he attacks. Of course. So it requires perseverance. And you can say, but Pastor, that's so overwhelming. It's so difficult to be alert at all times. Yeah. It's hard, you know. It wears you off. Sometimes it does. But then you draw strength from the only one who can make you strong in his might. You keep alert praying for all the saints as well. So if the first part was prayer for yourself, for your needs, for, you know, your life, the second part of the prayer and being alert is being alert about the things that are going on in the field of battle. There's a field of battle going on, you know. Missionaries are being attacked. That's pretty much what Paul is saying. Making supplication for all the saints. There are churches that are under attack. Other Christians that are under fierce attack. And you keep praying for them. And perhaps when you are under fierce attack, they will pray for you. You keep your head up. And you keep looking at others that are suffering such a vicious attack and treacherous attack. And you keep praying for them. You engage in the kingdom and the saints and the church of God as a whole, and you keep praying for them. Because we have this tendency to be too narrow-minded, to look at our own problems, to look at our local issues and think that this is the whole world. But the Lord wants us to look at have a unified perspective of the church. Remember everything that Paul has said about the church before. And he's going to end this letter actually talking about a love incorruptible, which is the love that God has for us and the love that we should have for one another. So he says, if you have this love that is steady, incorruptible, you keep praying for the saints. You keep alert. You keep seeing the things that are going on with the church. And you pray for those who are being attacked. You supplicate. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. You know that. You know that. And then, as Paul is a very practical guy as well, he says, and you know what? I have one way in which you can practice that. Right now, here, pray for me. Where's Paul? He describes himself, verse 20, as an ambassador in chains. He is in prison in Rome. And he is in prison in Rome because of the gospel. And Paul not only says, pray for me, but he makes clear the reason or what they should pray for. And of course, it's for Paul's well-being and for Paul's release from prison. Right? Isn't it? Is it? No? Well, let's look what Scripture says. 19. And pray also for me, Paul says, that the words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. What is Paul's request? Well, if I were in prison, I'm pretty sure I would ask you to pray for me, for my well-being. I'm almost certain. If I were in prison, I think I would, especially unjustly, I would ask you to pray that justice be done. I'm almost certain I would pray that way. I would look at my needs and myself. But Paul is himself under an attack of the forces of darkness. He's himself facing the wrestle, the battle. He's himself being in the thick of it. He's not writing these things as someone who is in a tower, in a castle, protected, eating the good things and enjoying the good things and teaching others. He's himself in the battle, in prison. He might suffer the penalty of death. And he's suffering the limitations of all that prison entails because of the gospel, the truth. And it's being slandered, criticized, even in church. There are some people in church that think that he's there justly because he's just a rabble-rouser anyway. That Paul. But there's Paul, and he says, pray for me. What for? That here in prison, I can continue to do my ministry boldly to proclaim the Word of God. That in himself is a testament of Paul's life, Paul the Apostle, to the Ephesians and to us. How we should fight the battle. What are the priorities? And what we should be doing. Paul does not want them to pray for his release. Not that they can't. They could, of course. But his concern, his focus, number one, is on the battle. He says that I have boldness to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Let me ask you one thing. If you were to say something about Paul, would you say that he's a bold guy? Is he a bold guy? Well, he didn't think he was bold enough. He thought he was weak. So he needed strength to be bold. But it's definitely something that you're like, oh, that Apostle Paul, he spoke the truth in people's face. Even like the emperor, or even like the Roman official, or the Jews. And the guys were like ready to take him. He was beaten. He was, you know, they whip him a few times. He was put in prison. He still spoke the truth. That man has such a courage. No, it's not his own. He says, pray for me that I can continue to be bold, that I can be bold. Because the courage to be bold didn't come from him, came from the Lord. If you think that you're bold, you might just be prideful. So Paul says, pray for me because I'm an ambassador in chains. That's what I'm doing here in prison. Here in prison, God put me here. God sent me here. What is an ambassador? Is one that is sent to represent the government. So he's like, I'm being sent here. I'm in God's business here in prison. And I want to do God's will here in prison. Paul is very aware himself of the battle. And he asks the Ephesians to practice that. So how do you keep drawing strength in the middle of the battle? Through prayer. You pray for your needs. You beg. You come to the Lord. But you also keep alert and you pray for what's going on in the world and the church. And you pray for the saints who are being under attack, who are suffering. Then the letter ends with a short instruction and then a final greeting. Paul says, I'll send you my beloved brother Tychicus, because he will give you instructions and he will encourage your hearts. That's the shepherd heart that Paul has. He's like, the letter is not enough. I want Tychicus to come and to bring you things that will warm your heart, that will strengthen you. So I'm sending you Tychicus. And he says, and then peace be to the brothers and love with faith. Faith. Love with faith. What kind of love with faith is uncorruptible love. We live in a world that people talk about a love. They talk about love in politics these days. Talk about love in everything. We have Hollywood depicting love in movies. We have all these concepts of love, but it's all corruptible love and corrupted love. It's not true love. But this is a true love, the love with faith, peace from the Father and from the Son through grace. This is the true love of God, who saw who we were, who knows who we are, and continues to love us. And his love doesn't decrease a single bit. And the Lord knows how weak you are and how weak I am. And when we fall and when we fail, his love still doesn't decrease and he continues to love us. And if you come to him and says, Lord, I'm falling down here. I'm being defeated. I'm being beaten. Help me. The enemy is at the gates. He will strengthen you. He will make you bold. As Paul needed this boldness from heavens. You know, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to finish with that. The biggest treasure that we have, and I said that earlier, is the Lord himself. When everything fails, when there's no hope in situations, when there's no hope in human justice, when things are not happening, and when you're stuck, and when you're drained, and when your health is failing, you still have the Lord. But the only way to deeply connect with the Lord is through reading of the Scripture and talking to him in prayer. I know a lot of Christians that read a lot the Bible. but I know few Christians that pray as much as they read. And that's how we connect with God. He talks to us in Scripture. We talk back in prayer. And we depend on Him. We live on Him. We have communion with Him through prayer. And that strengthens us in our difficulties. Look at your life, my brother and my sister. How many times have you prayed and God answered your prayer? How many times you were in need and you prayed and God have answered? We had a blessed devotional this Thursday. Our brother Mike brought some experiences of answered to prayer and how God strengthened him there at the Red Cedar Glen nursing home. How many times we have prayed and God has answered, and that's our God, because He's pleased in coming to our aid. A God who loves us with love incorruptible, who gave us His Son, so He will give us all the rest. He gave us the most precious thing. He will not hold anything back when we ask. But brothers and sisters, we need to practice that. Prayer is practice. It's practice at its most basic fundamental level. So we need to pray individually. We need to pray together. We need to pray with family. And teach our family to pray, our kids to pray. Pray with them. And insist on them praying. Because that will make us strong in the thick of the battle. We're going to sing one.